Good morning. My name is Mike, and I am a disciple whom Jesus loves. And you need to know that if I'm going to be a good anotherer, then I'm going to have to believe that I am the beloved of God. I cannot pour out love on people if my love tank is always empty. It is only when I believe and allow myself to be drenched by the love of God that I have something to pour into others. And so, I really am Mike, the disciple whom Jesus loves. And I hope that you believe that too. A man goes to the doctor, and he has not been feeling well for some time. And the doctor runs a number of tests, and he comes back into the room with three pill bottles. And he says, "I want you to take this green pill at breakfast with a large glass of water. And then at lunch, I want you to take this red pill with a large glass of water. And then before you go to bed, take this blue pill with a large glass of water." And the man says, "Doctor, what's wrong with me?" And the doctor says, "You're not drinking enough water." You see, we tend to make things more complicated than they need to be. And Jesus knew that about us. So as he prepares to launch the most revolutionary, eternally significant movement, he gives his disciples these last words, and he keeps it simple. He said, "A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." He says to keep the main thing the main thing. The critical component to this mission that he was launching was that we excel at anothering. We should be the best anotherers in the world. The world is dying of so many relational viruses. There's not much love in our world. There's a lot of talk about love. There's a lot of definitions of love. They're on the media. They're in all the books. But Jesus is using a different dictionary when he talks about love. I shared last week that the golden rule is hard enough to keep, just treating you like I want you to treat me. But Jesus lays out the platinum rule. You treat people like I have treated you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And it's going to set us apart. It's going to make the movement of Jesus unique and noteworthy because, frankly, most of the affection practiced in this world is lightweight anothering. Jesus is calling us to another way to another, each other. And I want to explore with you what that actually looks like. I want to look at Jesus' dictionary today. And the first thing about anothering Jesus' way is that it is a command. This is a little bit of review from last time, but I remind you, the Bible does not say that we ought to love one another. The Bible does not present this as a suggestion. Jesus says, when you sign up to follow me, you sign up to love my family. The gospel never presents this as an afterthought. This is a first principle. This is discipleship 101. This was on the first page of the syllabus. This is what you learn the first day in class, that the foundation of discipleship is anothering. Look at 2 John 6. Love means doing what God has commanded us, and he has commanded us to love one another just as you heard from the beginning. So Jesus says, guys, there's going to be a lot of temptation to get off track, but I need you to keep the main thing the main thing. You cannot love God if you don't love people. You cannot obey the rule maker if you ignore the intent of the rules that he made. A man comes to Jesus one time and asks, what's the number one rule? And Jesus responds, and it's very interesting because he doesn't give just one rule. He gives two. Matthew 27, verse 37, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love is the universal moral absolute. Whenever you're not sure of what the will of God is, ask yourself the question, what does love ask of me in this moment? Because you are pursuing the intent of all of God's law when you pursue love. Now, this is so important because from Jesus' day until this day, people that claim to follow him have shown an amazing proclivity, a disturbing capacity to focus on an obedience that divorces love. To study and come up with interpretations of laws that split churches while totally failing at the only two questions that are going to be on the final. Did you love God? And did you love people? For example, I grew up in a smaller church in Cocoa, Florida. That is where I heard my very first racial joke. That's where I heard the word that some people use to call people of color. And we would have worship services and we would pat ourselves on the back that we obeyed God better than the other church down the street because we followed rules better than they did. How does this happen? How do we create a religion that makes us feel clean while we treat other people like dirt? You have no greater obligation before God than the another obligation. But the thing is, if you have been drenched and overwhelmed with God's love for you, it doesn't feel like an obligation, it feels like an opportunity. It's not that I have to love another way, it's that I get to, because in Jesus' kingdom, it is a choice. Yes, he commands us to love, but he does not coerce us to do so. Anothering requires making a decision. Now, there's a bit of a tension here because we'll talk later about the role of the Holy Spirit in this. You cannot another in the flesh. You cannot grit your teeth and just try harder and become the anotherer that Jesus is asking you to be. The Holy Spirit will never force you to love anybody more than you want to love them. So you have verses like this out of Colossians chapter 3. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. There is another way to love. How about this? Let love be your highest goal. It is a choice. We're talking about choosing a way to love that exalts being willing over having feelings. Now, this is so important for you to hear because when you go back to the other dictionary, the one that the world uses, love is all about feelings. We treat love like an accident. Like I was just walking along one day and I stumbled and I fell in love. And here's the problem. If love is something that you can just fall into, it is something that you can just fall out of. And I cannot tell you how many times that I have had a woman or a man about to leave their mate and destroy their marriage and their family and say to me, I just don't love them anymore. I'm not a very good marriage counselor because when I'm told something like that, I'll say, well, start. Stop feeling and start willing. Make the decision to love. This notion of I just don't feel like loving is a sloppy, pathetic, irresponsible excuse for not living up to what Jesus expects of his disciples. Well, if I act loving and I don't feel like it, that would make me a hypocrite. No. A hypocrite is someone who acts like or pretends to be what they have no intention of becoming. You are not a hypocrite when you do what you don't feel like doing because that's the person you want to be. And every parent understands this. I remember hearing at 2 a.m. my kids begin to cry when they were just little babies, and I did not feel like waking up. I didn't feel like dealing with an unhappy kid. But what does love require? So I would wake Shannon up and I would say, go take care of the babies, because I'm all about other people. I heard the story about Jimmy in math class, and the teacher is teaching fractions, and she says, Jimmy, there's six people in your family and your mama makes a pie. What part of the pie do you get? 1/5, Jimmy said. No, Jimmy, there's six people in your family. What part do you get? 1/5. Jimmy, you don't understand fractions. Jimmy said, no, you don't understand my mama. She would say she didn't want any of it because she was full. Jesus did not go to the cross because he felt like it. It was a choice to do the will of the one he loved. So listen, if you're going to spend most of your life making feelings the basis for who you love, you are going to constantly drift into lightweight loving. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 from the Message is rendered this way. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. And that leads us to the third thought about anothering. It is a commitment. Lightweight loving makes relationships, like everything else in our culture, disposable. We use people till we're through and then we just get rid of them. But anothering Jesus' way is for the long haul. It is love as a lifestyle, not as a hobby. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Or how about this one from 1 John 4? And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. You see, anybody can love for a moment, but Jesus is calling us to love tougher. And this is why we need the help of anotherer. Because I can't love long haul. I can't until the end in the flesh. It requires the enabling of the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says this, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So when I begin my day by saying, Lord, your master, not me, it's your agenda, not mine. Help me to walk in step with your Spirit. Help me to hear the prompting of your Spirit. Help me to be guided by your Spirit. Then what's going to happen is a transformation of my character starts to take place. And I find myself being more gentle, more kind, more patient, more joyful. I exercise more self-control. This isn't my flesh doing this. This is the Holy Spirit changing my character from the inside out. And suddenly, love is not just a choice anymore. Now it is the fruit of Jesus living his life through me. And then God does something really cool. He sends me to graduate school in anothering by placing me in a community of faith called church. Now, there's a lot of reasons that we come to church. We come to worship together. We come to share communion together. We come to hear amazing teaching of God's word together. But one of the reasons we come is because we cannot grow as a lover without a community of faith. We come to a church like this and we see people who inspire us because they are long-term, long-haul lovers. And their examples help us. And then we have people in church that encourage us because they are on the journey with us. And we support each other as we try to grow as anotherers. And then, best of all, God puts in every church a few people that just drive you nuts. Because how are you going to grow as a lover if you never get stretched? And one of the biggest mistakes that disciples make is they go to a church and somebody says something or somebody does something that gets them upset and they say, well, I'm just going to go to another church. How in the world are you ever going to grow as an anotherer if you don't learn to love difficult people? Stephanie Watrous called me last week and told me that she discovered this very principle while shopping in Walmart. So if you want to be stretched as an anotherer, well then go shop at Walmart. You know that verse that says, don't forsake the assembling together? Well, the verse right in front of that, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We need each other to help each other another. It is our highest work. It is our greatest witness. It is how we impact the world. Max Lucado pastors in San Antonio, Texas, and one of the members of his church is a man named David Robinson. Sports fans immediately recognize the NBA MVP. He was an all-star. He won a gold medal in the Olympics. He won a couple of NBA championships. But David Robinson first is a very committed Christian. So David Robinson calls Max Lucado and he says, I've got a favor to ask you. I'm about to have my 10th anniversary with my wife, Valerie, and I want to fly you and your wife, along with my whole family and some of my teammates, to Hawaii. I want to renew my vows, and I would like you to conduct the ceremony. So he flies Max to Hawaii, and they're on the beach, and they're in front of his family and his teammates, and David recommits in his marriage to Valerie. And then he has these three boys, David Jr., Corey, and Justin. And he gets down on his knees, which would still make him taller than me. And he says to his boys, I want you to know, I will always love your mother. I want you to know, I will never leave this family. I want you to know that I will always be your daddy. Now, if you have a father or a mentor in your life like that, you need to be sure and you thank them. And I just want to say right now, if any of you want to fly me to Hawaii to recommit to your marriage, I am there because I am all about others. One more thing about anothering. It is a conduct. In other words, it is about love with skin on. A young woman comes back from her honeymoon and calls her mama. And her mama asks, well, how was it? Mama, it was awesome. But then she bursts out in tears. But now he's some man that I've never known. And he's using language that he's never used when we dated. And mama, I can't stand it. All these four-letter words. Can I come home? Mama says, that doesn't sound like him at all. What kind of words is he using? Oh, Mama, I don't even want to repeat them. Words like dust, wash, cook, iron. She's got to understand that love has got to get out of the poetry book and onto the street. Lightweight loving can remain discreet, but anothering is concrete. Look at 1 John 3, verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Most love is talk. But another way to love, the Jesus way to love, is walk. One of the concrete examples of this right now for me is Embrace Grace. Our church is going to be loving young women who have made a bad choice. But we're not showing up to remind them of that. We're showing up to show them God's love. Love is like a muscle, and it needs to be exercised if you want to get stronger. It doesn't cost me much to talk about love, but another love is costly. But I would contend it is also the best investment that you could ever make. You see, it is a credit. Jesus is decidedly unimpressed with most of the loving that he sees. It's too lightweight. Jesus said, you give a coat to somebody knowing that you're going to get it back? You're kind to people that are kind to you? What credit is that to you? You see, when you don't love higher than the basest sinner is capable of, Jesus says, you shouldn't expect credit from God when your love life never exceeds what a person who doesn't even have the Holy Spirit is capable of. God gives no credit for any religious act or devotion if it is done apart from love. The Galatian church is arguing about whether or not circumcision is important. And Paul says, you're missing the point. It doesn't matter. Look at chapter 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Or remember the great start to the chapter on love in 1 Corinthians 13. Paul says that you could speak like an angel. People around the world will get online to listen to you and download your podcast, but you don't love the people you speak to, it doesn't matter. When it comes to the gift of prophecy, you have insights into the mysteries of God that have never been discerned. People cannot get enough of your teaching, but you don't love the people that you teach, it doesn't matter. When it comes to faith, they come from across the globe to have you pray for them because they believe they will be healed, but you don't love the people that you pray for, it doesn't matter. You give so much, there are orphanages and hospitals all over the world with your name on it, but you don't love the people inside, it doesn't matter. You give your life. You actually spend your life as a martyr for the cause of God, but you don't love people, so then it doesn't matter. You see, no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Bible math is different than other kinds of math. Here is Bible math. Anything minus love equals nothing. And I want you to get how critical this is. Jesus doesn't want us to make this more complicated than it is. He's trying to launch a mission, and through you, eternal consequences can take place. But don't make this so complicated. Love God. Love people. Serve everyone. In 1997, Mitch Albom wrote an international phenomenon. It became the best-selling memoir of all time. It was called Tuesdays with Maury. Maury Schwartz was his college professor and mentor, dying of Lou Gehrig's disease. So every Tuesday, he would go and spend the day, and 14 visits turned into 14 chapters, Tuesdays with Maury. On the eighth visit, he took a press clipping of Ted Turner upset in his bid to buy CBS, who made the comment, "I don't want my tombstone to say I never owned a network." And what ensued was a conversation about what makes life meaningful. Is it acquiring? And here's what Maury said. "I'm dying, right? Why do you think it's important for me to hear other people's problems? Don't I have enough pain and suffering of my own? Of course I do. But giving to other people is what makes me feel alive. Not my car, not my house, not what I look like in the mirror. When I give my time, when I make someone smile after they were feeling sad, it is as close to healthy as I ever feel." There really is another way to do life. A better way. But to do life another way, you've got to learn another way to love. And so I'm begging you, in the few days that we have left in this mortal body, don't fret and waste time studying for questions that are not going to be on the final. Love God. Love people. Serve everyone. Keep the main thing the main thing. Brandon Moody went to see his uncle, who is a pastor of a church. They did this Easter pageant that you've seen before, where at the end, Jesus gives the Great Commission, and then the character playing Jesus is pulled up by ropes, and he seems to ascend into the heavens where he disappears. But the guys that were backstage lost grip of the ropes, and Jesus starts to come back to the earth, and he gets stopped about 2 feet from the stage, hanging, suspended in midair. And the guy playing Jesus says, "One more thing. Love one another." And I do believe, if between the first coming and the second coming of Jesus, that he was to appear just to remind us, just to give us a mid-course correction, and he had just one thing to say, that he would say, "Love one another." Would you stand? I want to pray over you.